Hi everyone, my name is Siobhan Murphy here from the Career Service in DCU and welcome back to Career Conversations. Now today we have a very interesting talk and we have somebody here from John Burns, a Business Development Manager for Ireland for the Chartered Governance Institute, which many of you actually may actually know as the ICSA. And joining him today also, which is very, very useful to us, is Dara Shine, who has completed her BCL here in DCU and completed a master's also. And she's first year in her role as company secretary, and she's doing that with Matheson. And Claire O'Brien, who is a qualified company secretary and is actually now a senior company secretary who is currently working in BDO. So you're all very, very welcome. But first of all, I might start off with yourself, John. Could you tell me what is a company secretary?
Good question. I suppose the elevator pitch I'd say is that every company in Ireland has a board of directors. Every board of directors has a company secretary. We would look after the company secretary. So I suppose the company secretary looks after the governance and compliance requirements for the company, making sure that they're on the straight and narrow, making sure that the board operates effectively, and making sure that I suppose they're doing everything they should be from a governance perspective.
Okay, and so what is the role of the, you know, the ICSA then? You know, you're there to promote the role of the ICSA, but what does it do?
Yeah, our role really, I suppose, is to look after our members in terms of their role as company secretaries. We've about 900 to 1,000 active members and students in Ireland in company secretarial roles. So first and foremost, it's to look after our members in terms of events, CPD, training and development for those as well. But also, because we have so much demand in the Irish market, it's to try and recruit more people into the profession as well, because demand is far outstripping supply in terms of company secretarial roles at the moment. So one of my interactions is with the colleges to try and get people who are graduating from college to think about studying company secretarial as a career opportunity. And we typically find that the best degree people would be those with a law degree, a finance degree or a business degree. They tend to make the best company secretaries, and it gives them an opportunity to use their degree in the workforce, particularly in a co-secretary.
So you're actually out on campus today and you actually did a presentation to our
yes.
students.
Yes.
So that has been really useful to us, because the word company secretary, it's a phrase that we're not maybe familiar in our everyday language. It's, you know, it's not kind of maybe a familiar term for people.
And that's a good point, because like you said, we are formerly known as the ICSA, the Institute of Chartered Secretaries and Administrators, but we've come a long way since that. And the real buzz now is on governance. So that's why we've changed our name. So really, we look at the company secretary as the governance professional, the person who leads the governance agenda within the company to make sure that everything is done the way it should be, in compliance with regulation or in compliance with the codes as well, the corporate governance codes as well. So I think that is important for us to make sure we do that as company secretaries.
Well, I know, and I'm not putting you on the spot about any particular instance, you know, but there has been a few, I suppose, headline items
yeah.
in the news over the last number of years, whether it's in the not-for-profit sector or in the, you know, the private sector, you know, where governance isn't where it should be.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts about, you know, say a role as a company secretary, you know, like around the CPD, making sure your members are doing their job?
Well, like, obviously it's important to make sure that your company secretaries are trained and up to speed. Like if you go to your doctor, you're expecting that your doctor has kept up to speed on all the medical initiatives or cures of the day or whatever. So it's the same with the company secretary. We have to make sure that as legislation changes and regulation changes, that we make sure that our company secretaries are up to speed as well. So organizing conferences and CPD events and training and development is important for us to do that. But you're absolutely right. And I would always say that when you have those situations that you refer to in your question, when a team come in to investigate a company or an organization, the first place they'll go are to the board minutes to see exactly what's been going on. So really, it's an important role for the company secretary to play, to make sure that they're at the heart of the organization and to make sure that they're giving proper governance advice to the board. And if things are not running properly in the board, it's the duty of the COSEC to call it out and say, look, there's an issue here. There's a governance issue here. You're falling foul of the law or whatever, and they need to raise it. Mm-hmm. And you may find that in those companies, governance has been weak. They may not have had a company secretary. They may not have had a board secretary. So that's what we try and instill in our members, the importance of making sure that you have a governance agenda and you want to promote that internally within the company. And I suppose in a smaller company, you're a one-person band. You're only the only COSEC. So sometimes you're kind of swimming against the tide, you know, to try and make sure that everyone in the organization understands the importance of governance.
So maybe I suppose if you are in that kind of, you know, more isolated role as a part, as opposed to being part of a wider team of COSECs, you know, maybe networking then with the ICSC would be very, very important, and maybe getting a mentor or something like that.
And we've tried to do that. So when we hold our we hold about 7 or 8 CPD events and conferences during the year. And one of the real benefits we find of that is the opportunity before the event or after the event for company secretarial or governance professionals to meet and mingle and mix and network. And that is a, such an important area. And even in my own role, I get so many calls or emails from people as well looking for advice, because we are quite a small community within Ireland. So the networking is really important. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're kind of thinking about, so you quite rightly mentioned this is very suitable for somebody, you know, without a business background or a legal background, or would, you know, kind of wants to do marry the two ends of it. But thinking about, say, the attributes, you know, what type of person, you know, because, you know, that's a broad, you know, stroke on it. So tell me about maybe the typical, not that there's room for everybody in the audience for diversity and things like that. It's more what I'm trying to say is, you know, what gives them the goosebumps? You know, what is the typical person? What are they like?
You're looking at somebody who is a good communicator, verbally and in writing as well. Obviously writing from the point of view of minutes, but also verbally, because 30 years ago, the company secretary was the person humbly quiet in the corner doing the minutes and not saying anything. Quite the opposite now. The company secretary is expected to be in the boardroom advising and guiding the board as well. So it's somebody who is vocal, somebody who understands the regulation and legislation and is not afraid to speak up when it's relevant to do so. It's somebody who's a confidant. I mean, if you look at being in the heart of the boardroom, you see everything that's going on and you see a lot of confidential stuff as well. So you need to know when you should speak and when you should keep quiet. And from my experience, I've seen so many papers going through board meetings when it's highly confidential, and the onus is on me to keep that quiet, obviously. So you need someone who's got that integrity to do that as well. You're looking at somebody, I suppose, as well, who is an influencer and also has good, strong leadership qualities as well. Mm-hmm. Finally, I'd emphasize the eye for detail.
Okay.
A company secretary is somebody that has an eye for detail. And to anyone who's a graduate or a student and thinking of coming in, the first port of call for you is your CV. Because that's our opportunity to see what's your level of detail like. So anybody coming in with a CV who wants to be a trainee company secretary, make sure your CV is absolutely right on. Mm-hmm. You've checked it, typos and everything else, and you've got someone else.
Come to the drop-in clinic and the career service.
Absolutely.
Get it reviewed.
I know that facility is not available in many other colleges as well. So absolutely, great opportunity to use it here. Yeah, but CV is so important, and it gives us a wonderful opportunity to see someone's eye for detail and say, what's this person like? And we're already getting a chance to see their written skills, because we're seeing 2 pages of their written communication straight away.
Okay, that might bring you over to Dara. So Dara, you're only your first year. So what was your motivation then? You know, because you have a law background, like, and there's so many things you could do with your law degree and your master's. So what was going on for you?
Well, I wasn't too sure when I never had heard of the company secretary until I got introduced to the ICSA. And I hadn't heard about it in college or anything. It was kept a secret from us, I suppose you could put it that way. But when I found out about it, I thought, oh, you have to be, as John said, eye for detail, very organised person. And I kind of thought that would suit me. And I said, you know, I'll give it a go. And I was just lucky I fell into place in Matheson, because I think I've really kind of thrived in there. And they're great the guidance in there they provide and the training is brilliant. Along then with doing the part-time qualification for the ICSA qualification in Marino, it's brilliant and it's so manageable with work and part-time college.
So how long is the course?
So it's 2 years to get your qualification, and then you can opt for the third year to get your master's degree as well.
And that's part-time, is it? Is that kind of, you know, part-time at night, or is it day release?
No, it would be usually Fridays and Saturdays.
Okay.
So you get it for one module it would be a month, and then you get 2 Fridays and Saturdays of that month. So 4 times a month.
So you're in your first year of it, so you're very much at the early stage. So John really kind of talked about, like, when you're, you know, you're qualified and you're getting to, you know, quite a senior level, and obviously Clare Health is in on, you know, what it means to be able to do the full suite of activities. So where are you at now? Like, what sort of activities are you doing? Not breaking any confidences or anything like that, but, you know, that what's the typical day looking like, or week or month? You know, what kind of gives the flavour?
Every day is so different. I'll put it that it's such a diverse role. It is. It's great. You never get bored of it anyway. And there's always something new to learn. Everything's changing, whether it be the governance side of things, new legislation being input, everything's changing. So you'll come in one day for a brand new change. But the typical day, I would say, you're working on preparing board packs for board meetings, dealing with client queries, creating agendas for their next board meetings, just making sure your compliance calendar is in check, basically, for the clients you have. So you'd have a portfolio of a certain number of clients and you're looking after them. So you're in charge. But of course, you have your manager and you get guidance with your team as well. Mm-hmm. So
and at this stage, have you attended board meetings or AGMs, EGMs? Yeah. You know, what has been your experience?
Yeah, so it's a busy time now for board meetings, especially just finishing off the Q1 session of them. So yeah, board meetings, heavily involved in them, and organising, planning AGMs.
And I suppose, given that kind of rare insight into how organisations work, kind of what has kind of fascinated you about that?
I love hearing when I first went to my very first board meeting, what the directors have to say. And it was, they have such knowledge about it that, you know, from a new perspective, I was like, whoa, it's how they discuss the ongoings, even things about the financial statements and everything of their company. It was just, it's very insightful. It's great to hear all about that firsthand from a director that might have 50 years experience,
okay,
in that. So it is great. It's brilliant.
Okay. And yourself, Claire, you're now at the senior stage, so you've gone and done the training. So go back to the training piece. So you know, how did you find completing this part-time course as well as working?
Yeah, so it's very manageable if you have a company that really supports you, and like most firms in Dublin, they really do. I would get a good bit of study leave to assist with it, so it's not eating into your work hours. You have your days off to do your assignment, to research first. You know, if you have an exam coming up, you have the time to study first. Everyone's in the same boat as well in the master's program, so you can talk to each other, and the lecturers know that you work part-time as well. Or sorry, you work full-time and the master's is part-time. So they're very conscious about that as well when it comes to deadlines, and they try to be as realistic as possible.
So as a senior person in BDO, what has been kind of the shift up for you now at the senior level?
I suppose the role of responsibility, it has gone up a lot more now. I review annual returns, AGMs, whereas I would have been looking at the precincts, drafting them a few years ago. Now I'm reviewing them, spot checking them. It's good. Progression in the industry is there, which is nice. It's not that you'll stay a trainee for 5, 6, 7 years. You know, you do move up once you know that you have the technical skills down, you know what's going on, you move up the ranks, which is nice.
How portable of a career is this? You know, can you do company secretary in other parts of the world, or, you know, can you do remote working, you know, or something like that?
That's something that really drew me to the industry. When you can move with it, I could go to Australia, Canada, Cayman Islands. You know, I'm fully qualified now.
Do you want to stay with the BTO?
Yes,
I'm not going to do it as a soldier now.
No, not at all. But to have that option there, for the future, you never know what's going to happen. And just to have that option at the back of it, that you have a qualification that will stand no matter where you go, was really important to me. And I suppose that's why I didn't go down the law route. Because, you know, if I became a solicitor, I was kind of tied to Ireland, you know, which is fine,
but for you it just wasn't your story.
So now I have no intentions of moving, but just to have the option there is always kind of
What's your favorite part of the job?
I suppose my favorite part would be, we're very client facing, and it's meeting the clients and doing the technical work for an organization that you know will get them from A to B, and implementing that. If it is a merger, or if it is, you know, a share transfer, you know, or if you're just reorganizing the group structure, or when new legislation comes in, you know, what implications does that have for the companies? And I suppose it's front face stuff, which is really important for companies, and being able to talk to your clients and explain that to them, I find.
And just bringing it back, because I mean, every role, you know, is very deadline orientated, but you would have, say, deadlines that would have legislation, you know, surrounding it. So you can talk me through that process, you know, around managing those deadlines, because you do actually have them under law, you know.
So like this year, the biggest one, we had our, like every year, our e-filing deadline would be in October. And we also had the RBO was implemented, the Register of Beneficial Ownership. So they fell together. So this year, you really did feel that pressure to get both in and to get your, you know, clients met, and that, but it's not, it's a good thing, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's, well, I mean, every business has its own internal pressures, you know. Yeah. But I suppose I'm always very mindful of that, you know, where an organisation does actually have to meet kind of, you know, company law requirements.
Yeah, like that was set by the company's registration office, which, you know.
So you're not going to take your holidays then?
No.
No, that's fair enough.
Well, some people did.
So, okay, well, there you go. You're obviously very well organised.
Yeah. So it is, and that's what the industry is about. It's about being organised and being on top of things and, you know, attention to detail and communication with your clients. And if you communicate things on time, you should have them back on time.
Mm-hmm. I'm always very curious about the word communication, and everyone says, you know, we must have excellent communication skills.
Yeah.
But what, you know, what are they? You know, we do know this body language, it's your verbal, it's your written skills, you know, and your listening skills.
Yeah.
So in the COSEC role, now obviously you need all four, don't get me wrong, but what do you think, you know, is very important there?
Well, your communication with your team and your management.
Okay.
That is so vital, that if there's an issue or there's a problem, that you can communicate that, you know, to your colleagues, and that there's management there that can explain to you and, you know, how it works, or if you haven't come across something before, that you can bounce it off someone else in another team, that they might have seen it, you know, from a procedures point of view or from a technical side that would be new or rare that you wouldn't really work on. So it is kind of open line of communication within a firm.
Probably honesty, accountability, things like that.
And you are responsible for your clients and you know, meeting them deadlines. And that is a responsibility you take on. But it's a good responsibility, and it's a good thing when you start working that you're not just, you know, I suppose someone, like, it's just the manager doing everything, that you are doing it as you train, that you're responsible for your client them deadlines in that sense.
Okay, listen, you're out here on campus, all three of you, to do a presentation to our law and business students. So thank you so much for coming out on campus and also taking the time to record this podcast. We really genuinely appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah.